everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Bob Dio, my engineer and producer on the other side of the glass. Together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this first Monday of March. It's March the 4th, 2018. Wow, what a busy weekend. Over at the Tucson Festival of Books, I was involved with one of the events on Saturday morning, a huge crowd at the U of A for the weekend anyway on Saturday when I was there. And I think Jim Kelly was with me in studios there on Sunday.
That is correct.
I mean, it was a big crowd, 140,000 people
for
huge, the 2 days.
I think it was the largest I've ever seen.
Wow.
You know,
yeah, it's like wall to wall people walking.
Third largest book fair in the country.
Wow.
And it was wall to wall people. I think I walked 5 miles.
Yeah.
You know, just meandering in and out of all the lanes and everything.
I remember when they started the whole thing 11 years ago, nobody thought, well, you know, if it lasts a year or two, they'll be lucky. But you're right. It's third largest book fair in the country. It's 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Of course, Buckmaster is on. That's me, Monday through Friday during the noon hour. You can hear all of our programs with live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We've got all of our podcasts available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Our live line number, 790-2040. Our Monday political face-off is the way we begin our program and have been doing so. We're now in our ninth year, and we always start on Monday with the face-off. Our team of commentators today, Jim Kelly is seated to my right. Jim, a longtime Republican Party activist here in town, a one-time political candidate himself. Also, we have Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Jeff, how was your weekend?
Had a great weekend. It was a beautiful weekend outside, and it's a nice time to go horseback riding and do a little outdoor activity.
I mean, you had the golf tournament that brought in big numbers, then the book
Absolutely.
Festival. We're going to get this Friday, by the way, we'll have Brent Durad on from Visit Tucson. I'll be very curious. I think this is turning out to be, Jim and Jeff, kind of a banner year for tourism in town.
Good. I certainly hope so.
Certainly brings a lot of money into town, and it's good economic news. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. We've got a lot to talk about on the face-off today. And again, if folks want to join in, 790-2040. It was a very, very rough week for the president with the testimony of Mr. Cohen in Washington, and then the failed Korean summit. Not really, you know, the president coming home, Jim and Jeff, empty-handed. So the president on Saturday went before. He needed some love, didn't he? He needed some love, and he went to the Conservative Political Action Committee, their annual convention, where the president spoke for a record. He may have tied the record, the historians say, going back to like 1845, 2 hour speech.
Yeah, 2 hours and 6 minutes.
hard to believe he could beat Bill Clinton. I remember some of Bill Clinton's speeches seemed like they lasted forever.
Oh my goodness. But when you get into that area, it's like, you know, you think of like a Fidel Castro or somebody that gets up there and speaks all day. I mean, but he obviously felt this would be a good time for him to kind of need some re-energizing and, as I say, find some love.
Well, it was not only that. Number one, I don't think the week was bad for the presidency, for President Trump. It was bad for Cohen, and I think it showed the Democratic congressman just how petty and vile they can be on occasion. But I don't think it was bad for the president. I think it was bad for our government. I think it was bad for the institution of Congress because it showed true vile contempt for just the normal process of investigation. The other side of the coin that everybody says the summit failed. It's not failed. It's not over. It's on a hiatus because the president chose to walk away from a bad deal. Now, there were other issues that I do believe affected whether Kim Jong-un has underestimated our president, because the Pakistan-India conflict has heightened and during the week, as well as the Mueller investigation. So Kim Jong-un may look at that and go, oh, President Trump is weak, and I could get anything I want. Well, President Trump, if he perceives that you perceive he's weak, he will walk away and just show you, I can outweigh you. And he can. He can outweigh North Korea, because North Korea is starving. His people are starving. He can outweigh them. He knows it. The sanctions, everything. They can outweigh
so
North
bottom
Korea.
Line, Jim, you say it was not a bad week.
No, I don't think
president.
It was a bad week.
Well, it was a disastrous week. First off, you know, the failed Trump summit with Korea, he got nothing out of it. And then a few days later, the administration announces that they will unilaterally stop their exercises with South Korea, which is how we prepare for what would be an imminent war where South or North Korea to misbehave. You add to that the fact that he lied to the American people multiple times, as did his daughter, about how Jared Kushner got his high security clearance, that it came by way of ordering John Kelly to do it, that Kelly was so disturbed by it, and Donald McGahn, the president's counsel, was so disturbed by that that they actually memorialized that in written memos. And then you add to that the House rebuke of Trump by passing disapproval of his wall emergency, and that now today we hear that McConnell has admitted that the Senate will pass it as well. It probably won't withstand a veto, but he's going to get rebuked by the Senate as well. And then on top of that, you take a look at when a hearing starts off and your former personal lawyer calls you a racist, a con man, and a cheat, and that's just the beginning of the hearing, and we hear hours and hours of testimony about his Trump's racism, about his lies to Congress that were set up by the Trump team, particularly one of Trump's lawyers who reworked his original testimony for which he had to plead guilty, but that was really to protect his boss.
But it doesn't make any difference with the Trump supporters. The latest polling shows that it doesn't move the needle. He's still got this
45% of the American public. He has 90% of the Republican Party behind.
And it hasn't varied in 2 years.
No.
So, and that just says more about America than it does about even Trump.
And remember what Trump said about what he could go, he could shoot somebody.
That was rhetoric from campaigning even before he was president.
Yeah.
I think he's
practically right. There's no way he's going to lose this base.
He talks extemporaneously. He talks off the top of his head. 2 hours and 6 minutes, straight from the heart, nothing on the teleprompter.
But the good news is this, is that he will never get anywhere close to a 50% approval rating, and that means that he's still really fair game in the 2020 election,
depending on who, Jeff, the Democrats put up.
Yeah, our election to lose, just like it was in 2018.
We were visiting about this before we went on the air, and I want to pick up on it now on the air on 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Jeff, if the Democratic Party goes too far to the left, Donald Trump will be reelected. Right, Jim Kelly?
Absolutely, and Donald Trump said it himself. Please, please, please stay on the Green New Deal. Please, you know, keep giving as much attention as you can to Kamala Harris and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, because then he wins, and he knows it.
If the Democrats
go centrist, if the Democrats put up anybody with a lick of common sense and world knowledge, he's vulnerable.
Yes.
But if they stay left, and that it looks like that's where they're going to go, they lose.
Who do you like, Jeff Rogers?
Well, I've always liked Sherrod Brown.
You said there was a dream ticket that
my
you believe.
My dream ticket is Sherrod Brown and Amy Klobuchar.
Could you tell our listeners who those two people are?
Senator Sherrod Brown is a multi-term senator from the state of Ohio. Prior to that, he was the Secretary of State for two terms. Prior to that, he was in the state legislature in Ohio. When we lost Ohio pretty badly in this last election, we didn't win any statewide offices except for Sherrod Brown. He won handily, I might add. And, you know, he's somewhat of a centrist, but I think he's somebody that can appeal to progressives. And Amy Klobuchar is a senator from Minnesota. And I believe she's and she's won by astounding margins. Wow. In her statewide races back there. I mean, this is people from the heartland of America that would appeal to all Democrats, and they and I think it's the dream ticket for us that would win this. And I guarantee you that ticket would beat Trump handily. But you're both right. If we tilt way too far to the left, we put ourselves in a dangerous predicament of seeing a reelection of Donald Trump.
I have some friends in Minnesota who are very libertarian and were big Jesse Ventura supporters. Mm-hmm. You know, for his time, and they still remain very. They hate both Democrats and Republicans, and they're just right down the middle kind of people, and very, and they like Amy. Klobuchar. Yes, they like her very much. And they think that she's got the political savvy to handle a national ticket.
Jim Kelly is here and Jeff Rogers. It's 10:30 at The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Brought to our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Got some exciting news. If you didn't hear me, Jeff and Jim talking about it last week, Mona's is stepping up now, and there'll be breakfast being served. They're putting in the new grill. I'm told within 2 weeks they'll be up and running with a full breakfast going on at Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owner and chief baker Steve has really excited. He's made a big investment in this, and already they've been doing so well. Of course, with their lunch crowd, and people love their pastries. So Jeff and Jim, I think this is a good move for Mona's.
Absolutely. I think that area could use some more breakfast. Uh-huh. Give some competition to the people that are just a few doors down
whose name we won't even mention.
But you're right. I look forward to having breakfast up there very, very soon.
Yeah.
Me too. That's my favorite
Jeff
meal of the day.
Jeff knows what I'm talking about, too, about the competition up there. And we won't mention it. But they're going to have some when Mona's Danish Bakery does the full breakfast in a couple of weeks. Mona'sDanishBakery.com and at BuckmasterShow.com. There's a link not only to Mona's, but all of our great sponsors. Let's talk a little bit after the break about the three-way primary in the city of Tucson on the Dem side for the new mayor. We'll talk about that with Jeff Rogers and James Kelly right after this.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. Jim Kelly is here, seated to my right, Jeff Rogers to my left. It's the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Before we talk about the three-way primary for the city of Tucson on the Democratic side, as yet we don't have really a Republican candidate emerging in the mayoral race. We have an independent candidate. But one more note, Jeff Rogers, about the number, the volume of candidates for the Democratic, or hoping to be the Democratic front runner in 2020. There are so many candidates that CNN is already promoting, by the way, the first debate that they're going to be doing. I guess it's in June, but it's a two-night affair with, I guess, 10 to 12 candidates.
Each night.
I mean, you could have 25 candidates up there. And I hearken back to the Republicans. You had 18, Jim Kelly, I believe.
Yes, we did.
But Donald Trump was like a merge because he was so completely different than anybody else on stage.
Right.
So I wonder if the Dems have anybody like that.
I can't think of anybody that would be our version of Trump up
yeah.
there. I hesitate to think that we could find somebody that scary on our side of the fence.
Oh, I bet somebody's looking for another Bill Clinton right now somewhere in the Democratic Party.
Well, you know, Jimmy Carter came out of nowhere.
Yes, and, he did.
Know, he didn't have a great presidency, but he came out of nowhere. And in a way, Bill Clinton did the same thing. He came out of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah. I worked on the opposition research team on Bill Clinton in 1992 and literally took the challenge from James Carville of walking through the trailer park with $100 bills. And it was easy, but then it disappeared. I mean, he was the Teflon president.
Had Obama emerged at this time? Well, of course, Obama was a senator, so he did have, you know, some name recognition, but I'm just wondering, if you look at the time frame going back to like a year and more than a year and a half before,
he didn't have a front runner status by then.
Mm. Yeah. All right, Jeff and Jim, what about the city of Tucson primary? That we have the three Democrats: Raheena Romero, Randy Dorman, and Steve Farley. Some of your thoughts, Jeff.
Well, they're all well-qualified candidates who would do a great job as mayor. I think that the entrance of the final candidate, Dorman, in this race pretty much tilts it towards Farley.
Why is that? Why? You think the women will
you're going to split up the women's vote. I mean, you know, if you have one woman in there, there's a strong argument to be made. We've never had a woman as mayor. And, you know, and for Rahina, she added on to that, well, you know, in a community that has as high a participation of Latinas and Latinos, then, you know, this would be the first Latina mayor. And so, but now, you know, that argument begins to dissipate with two women running and one man. And, you know, and I think Farley's, you know, probably the stronger candidate. If you look how strong he ran in the primary for governor last time around in within the city limits of Tucson, he was an extraordinary candidate. And I think that that name recognition is going to help him a lot.
I never saw those percentages, but you're saying it was really high
Fry
took away the 8% of the vote that he probably deserved.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Steve Farley probably should have won that primary.
And Fryer took about 8%.
Fryer took anywhere from about 7 to 8% of the the vote away from Steve Farley.
Yeah.
So I think of the three, he's probably the strongest candidate. Now what gets really weird for me and strange is that, you know, you've got two announced candidates, this Robert Royce, who's run for mayor before, and he's run for Ward 2 before, and you've got this Frank Konarski, who has a habit of suing the city of Tucson, and Royce is another one of those people who shows up a lot at the mayor and council meetings and avails himself of a chance to speak anytime he gets.
Can they get enough signatures?
Yeah, that's the question. But if one of those legitimately gets on the ballot, and you can bet we're not going to be challenging their signatures, then that's going to put the Republican Party in kind of a predicament. If they weren't on the ballot, they could throw their support to Ed Ackerley, the independent. But if one of those gets on the ballot, you know, you're probably not going to see the Republican Party openly supporting Ed Ackerley, probably will get on the ballot.
What do you think?
Well,
from the Republican point of view, Jim Kelly.
With Royce and Konarski, I don't think either one of them are capable of putting together a campaign to, A, collect enough signatures.
Which is about 10,000 signatures.
So if they actually do get their signatures, you could bet that a Democrat probably helped them do it. Because I don't think the Democratic Party wants the Republicans to officially or unofficially support a guy like Ackerley, who is far more capable of running a stronger campaign against
a former
Democratic opponent.
I don't know what his former registration was at all.
I honestly don't know what his former registration has been.
We'll have to get him on the show here in the coming weeks.
One of the other things, though, is that you may see is, as the Democrats are well known to do in this town by putting up really weak Republican candidates and helping them get on ballots, to just basically mess with
us. I don't recall us ever in my age helping a Republican get on the ballot. As a matter of fact, we knocked off all the Republicans.
You may see Republicans start unofficially supporting Randy simply because they can't stomach Rahina, and they definitely don't want Steve Farley, you know, gaining any more notoriety, recognition, and a political base that they could challenge a statewide office again. So you may start seeing Republicans unofficially supporting Randy. Highly possible.
Caller reminds us that Sam Nagy is running as a Republican. Just got that call. So there you go.
And I don't know anything about Sam Nagy.
I know nothing about the man.
Okay. So, excuse me.
I've heard the name before, but I can't remember where I heard it.
All right. But go ahead, Jim, your thoughts.
No, so those are my thoughts. I mean, those are the kinds of, you know, backroom things that happen in politics, particularly at the local level. Rahina already has high name recognition. Steve Farley has high name recognition. But Steve Farley, I believe, will probably have the stronger campaign organization. And again, if Randy doesn't pull well against Steve and Rahina, you may see some Republicans start stepping in to help her.
That'd be interesting to see. But I think right now, if I were, you know, handicapping the race, I'd say it's Steve's to lose.
How about some of the wards? We don't really have many Republicans stepping up there. We've got Mr. Hicks is in
Ward 3.
Ward 4.
Where
Shirley Scott's
seat, right. Yeah. And, and Michael's got a good chance of winning the ward. He'll never win the citywide. But Yeah, that's the way this.
Michael
yeah, yeah, that's the way
Michael
the,
Ortega.
The chips
are you talking about?
That's the way the chips are stacked.
Are you talking about Michael Hicks? Michael yeah. Ortega is running in Regina's
right.
ward, I
right.
believe. There's right. a three-way going on there on the Democratic side.
Right. Yeah, and I think the strongest candidate there is probably Sammy Hamed. He's yes. he's run in that ward before. He's shown himself to be an extraordinary campaign worker yes. and organizer, yes. and that's how I would handicap that race. But you know, somebody else could slip down the middle.
Miss Santa Cruz yeah, is also
by the way,
in that
Sammy
race.
Sammy is very, very good at what he does. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd take nothing away from his talent and his skill. I just wish he'd stop walking lockstep with this ultra left progressive nonsense that's going on in the rest of the
Democratic I don't think I would classify Sammy Hamed as an ultra left guy. I think we would look at
as long as he continues to support Planned Parenthood and be supported by Planned Parenthood.
He's ultra left.
Right.
Miss Lane as being the most leftist liberal of the group.
All right, Jeff Rogers. Thanks, Jeff, for coming
Welcome.
In. Appreciate it. Jim Kelly, always a pleasure to see you.
Thank you.
The
Bill.
Monday Political Face Up presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Moe can take care of all of your framing needs. He takes care of mine. He also does some great job with custom frame mirrors. So check it out, moesgallery.com. Be right back with General John Wickham.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. It's the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We send so many of our listeners. They take the three-hour drive, and they're very glad they do. They take the drive from Tucson, and they visit a beautiful area of the southwestern United States. Many of them decide to go up to visit the famous Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument, one of the first national monuments in the United States, just north of Silver City. So lots to do, and you can find so many great ideas about recreation opportunities and great places to stay by going to the website, southwestnewmexico.org. I am just so proud of the great partners, the great sponsors who believe in what we do here Monday through Friday during the noon hour. They make it possible for me to bring this program to you. The Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs, I'm so proud of this man that he's a part of our program, General John Wickham, the United States Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987, Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces from 1979 to 1982. General Wickham served a total of 41 years in the Army. He is retired in Oro Valley, and he joins us from his home in Oro Valley on the Buckmaster Show live line. General Wickham, how are you today? That sounds a little bit like Korean, which you speak very, very well. And of anybody that I can think of who can give us some great reaction to what happened with the most people calling the failed summit that took place in North Vietnam. Let's get your take, General Wickham. Was it a failure completely, or were there some bright spots?
The bright spot is that we're continuing to talk with the North Koreans and is continuing to establish a relationship. The downside is South Koreans, of course, are particularly disturbed because they had hoped President Moon of the South Korea had hoped that there was going to be some progress here, but none of it. And as I may have mentioned to you, I had an interview by Korean media that came over here to interview me on the coup d'etat that occurred many years ago. They're continuing to look at this issue. And they talked about North Korea, and they were very hopeful, these young people, that there was going to be some progress, but there's none. And I think there's many reasons that have been in the media. The principal reason is that there's a disparity of view about denuclearization. We've taken the view that denuclearization means three things: complete, irreversible, and verifiable, getting rid of your arsenal. And the North Koreans don't see that. They cannot give up what Kim Il-sung created years ago, and which have given North Korea a sort of stature in the world, recognition and independence. So they're not going to give up the nuclear weapons, as I mentioned on your program a number of times, and as I've written in media also. So there's a disparity. The North Koreans did not expect that. Now, what the North Koreans probably wanted to get out of a meeting was some progress on getting rid of the sanctions, which are hurting the people of North Korea. And also they would like to see some peace settlement so that North Korea can resume some relationship with South Korea and with the United States. And that did not happen. So there was a disparity in expectations that came out of this thing. And I think part of it, I don't want to get into politics, part of it comes from ignorance on the part of this administration about North Korea. They think they know what's going on. They don't. They don't read history. They're not getting good advice. They're getting advice from people like Bolton, which have a very negative view of the world and of North Korea. And so that kind of view is getting us no place.
General John Wickham with us on the live line. We're on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Our number, if you would like to join in the conversation, General Wickham would love to hear from you, 790-2040. Perhaps you feel differently, or perhaps you have some comments on last week's summit. General Wickham, you mentioned the coup that you wrote about, that coup, and I do want to give a quick plug for your book. The name of the book is Korea on the Brink. It's still available on Amazon and does very well. When did you write that book, General Wickham?
Well, I wrote it about, 15 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And it was based on my notes. Of course, it had to be cleared by the State Department in order to get published. And difficulty to write a book and get it published because the publisher wants to know who the devil is going to be interested in reading this book. Well, I finally did get it published by the military, and it was translated into Hangul and published in Korea also. So, as you pointed out, Bill, it's still in publication, still being used, and it's a good historical document, because it's got an annex in the back that's based on documents that were the State Department helped develop. So it's an interesting development. The people don't recognize the coup. The military don't train leaders like me to handle the coup. How do you deal with it? You deal with it on a day-to-day basis, hour by hour, on your own instincts and judgment. Fortuitously, I had tremendous relationships with Ambassador Bill Gleystein, who was like a brother to me. We would talk every day on the phone or meet every day. I knew the Secretary of Defense, who was a dear friend, and he and I would call on classified phone almost every day. And I had people in the State Department that I knew that I would meet with or talk with. So, fortuitously, I had good relationships with people. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff was a personal friend. So I had people like this that I could work with, and I worked with in terms of keeping them informed about what was going on. But you're never trained to deal with things like a coup as a military person. You got to struggle through it. And it was dangerous. It was a worrisome thing for my wife, Anne. We didn't know whether we were going to survive in Korea at the time of the night of the coup when I went down to command post to deal with the problems.
Wow. Speaking of friends, one of our regular listener, we always like to hear from Matt, has called us at 790-2040. Matt, go ahead with General Wickham.
Oh, Matt's always got good questions.
He does. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, General Wickham. Obviously the summit was the topic of international affairs, and my general thing was when Christopher Hill queried, he didn't understand why after the summit Mike Pompeo immediately left for the Philippines, instead of going to maybe Japan or briefing our other partners locally in South Korea. And I gather from the most recent news yesterday or earlier that Secretary Pompeo apparently has reconfirmed, I think, Article 5 or something to that effect of our commitment that if the Philippines are attacked, we will commit forces. By chance, did you see that news report? It seemed to get very little headlines. And it's probably the most significant action regarding the South China Sea. And I was just wondering if you had any thoughts on that. Thank you.
That's an excellent point, Matt. I agree with you. A very significant issue because it deals with an ally that we've had over the years, Ann and I. And the family lived in the Philippines, Clark Air Force Base, for 2 years when I was done my second tour in Vietnam. And So we have good relations with the Korean, with the Filipinos, and a classmate of mine, West Point classmate of mine, Eddie Ramos, became president of the Philippines, and he's still alive.
Wow.
I still stay in touch with him. So it's important we have good relations with the Philippines and a good friend in Asia. And I think also for the Chinese to realize that we have a relationship with the Philippines, and that it's hands off. And I think that was an excellent point to make. Back to the Korean thing, Eddie, I mean, Matt, the military chief, intelligence chief, you may recollect, about 2 weeks ago, briefed the Congress and told the Congress that in their professional opinion, the North Koreans would never give up their nuclear weapons. And yet the administration thinks they're going to do it. So they're not listening to the intelligence chiefs.
All right. We're at right about 12:45. General Wickham will stick around for another segment on 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. If you would like to join in the conversation, our live line number is 790-2040. We're talking about Korea, however, and the Philippines. If there's some other area in the troubled world that we live in that you would like to add a comment or have a question for General Wickham, again, 790-2040. We'll take our break right here on 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Everybody is talking here at 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. What a successful weekend over at one of our sponsors, our fine sponsor, Green Things, had that open house for their new operation, Zocalo, which has been now part of on the 13-acre site. Zocalo has a wonderful collection of Talavera pottery, antiques, fine art, some beautiful handmade furniture, lighting, home accessories, and gifts from all over Latin America and Europe. So you really get you get your opportunity for your to pick up amazing plants, trees, and annuals from green things for the garden, then some great things for the home from Zocalo. And they had a very successful open house at 3384 East River Road. They're open daily. A couple of websites for you, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Zocalo is Z-O-C-A-L-O, Zocalo at Green Things. Let's go back now to the live line and General John Wickham with us on the live line. And there's really this news out of Russia is very troubling. As the New York Times reported, it's a new assertiveness about the Kremlin's nuclear capabilities. And apparently it is related to President Trump's decision, General Wickham, to withdraw from the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty, which banned the placement of such weapons in Europe. Are you as concerned as I am about this?
Yes, exactly, Bill. When we came out here in 92, I remember at Davis-Monthan, they were beginning to dismantle some of the intermediate nuclear capabilities, and they were doing it at Davis-Monthan so that satellites, Soviet satellites, could see that and verify that we are complying with the treaty. So, yes, the treaty was important, and you would think, I would think, that this administration would renegotiate with the Soviets this treaty rather than to tear it up. Same with the Iran nuclear deal, tear that up. I think foolish. It was on Fareed Zakaria program yesterday. He was talking about the Iran thing and North Korea. And he said, why would the North Koreans ever agree to anything the United States did when they see what we did with the Iran nuclear deal, tearing it up, unreliable United States. So I think it's an illustration of lack of wisdom about how we conduct foreign policy. So the intermediate nuclear deal was an important thing. Yes, the Soviets did break it, but we could have renegotiated with them rather than to tear it up. So I think it is a mistake. Now, there's another factor. Putin, like President Xi in China, basically has been elected for life. There are no successors. So we're going to have to deal with powerful leaders in the world. And these leaders are not going to sit back and relax. They're going to try to exert influence. And Russia has always felt worried about NATO and European Union moving closer and closer to Russia. You and I don't understand, other Americans don't comprehend what Russia went through. The loss of a million people under Hitler, the loss of a million people under Napoleon. So they've seen god-awful periods in history, and they don't want it to happen again. So they have been anxious about the world. And as NATO moves, and as we exert influence with NATO, you can expect Russia to react in an authentic military way. And this is part of it, doing what they're doing. So we're going to have to realize that if we're going to work with these nations, we have to work with them diplomatically. The sad news for you and for me and other Americans is that our State Department is only 60% manned with professionals.
Wow.
And many of our ambassadors, we don't have ambassadors in many countries.
Mm.
And golly days here, it's 2 years into this administration, and we're not walking the talk diplomatically. And if we're going to have diplomatic solutions, we need to have professionals doing it, and we're not doing it.
Are you at all worried about the situation in Venezuela, that could lead to American boots on the ground in a northern part of South America?
It could. I don't see that happening, but I am concerned about Venezuela because Venezuela is an important country. Its location is important. Its wealth is important, its oil wealth, and its influence. Venezuela has been recognized as a leader in the West, in the Western Hemisphere. So it's important for us to work with them. And I think we're moving in the right direction of supporting the man who has not been elected, but he was Speaker of the House, I believe, and more moderate than Maduro, and try to get rid of Maduro. And I think we're moving in the right direction there. But we got to work diplomatically and not in a hostile way to deal with Venezuela.
One of the things I do want to carve out a minute or two to talk about, folks may not realize, General Wickham, that you're a poet. You've been writing poetry, and the good news is that your work will be published with illustrations from some high school students. Tell us a little bit about what's planned.
Well, that's an interesting point, Bill. I thank you for bringing it up. I started writing poetry several years ago, sort of an inspiration that came to me, spiritual inspiration. And I would ride the bicycle every day and looking at the beautiful countryside here and listening to music, classical music, and inspired by good news. And I began to write poetry based on that. And my poetry's largely dealing with family and values and patriotism, good things in life, upbeat things in life. And I guess I've written a couple of hundred poems, and some high school students here got involved in wanting to write, draw pictures related to the poems, and which they've done. And it's the book is about to be published. I've got to pay for it, but that's all right. It's worth doing.
Well, we can't wait to hear a poem or two. Maybe one of our next sessions, you could share a poem with us.
A good one. I will.
Yeah, I would love to hear some of your poetry, and I've seen it. We've shared it in the past. I've seen it. Some of you've emailed me some of it, and it's outstanding. I really look forward to it. And generally, you do keep a very upbeat and optimistic view. How have you managed to do that, Sue, through so many trials and tribulations in your life? You do have this sunny outlook, don't you, General Wickham?
You're right. You're right, Bill. And I attribute that to what happened to me in Vietnam, my first tour.
Yes.
When I was given the last rites due to wounds and the severity of the wounds. And the realization that I think it was a failure as a commander, and it didn't work out that way. It worked the other way. And I've always looked every single day thanking the Lord for the gift of life and the gift of opportunities. Look what the life has given me. I've been married to my angel Anne for 64 years.
Wow.
And we've raised a wonderful family. And so only days I have to be thankful for these things. Yes, the Lord does bring sadness into everybody's life, but I think you've got to look for the good things in life, and there's a lot of good things around us, and that's why I'm hopeful our country is going to get through the difficulties we're facing now.
And you're still in pain from some of those injuries, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. Physical pain and yes, and mental pain, but thank God, I was, because of Agent Orange, I was diagnosed with leukemia. And I do have leukemia, but thank God, I just had another blood test, and the leukemia is asleep.
Hallelujah.
No treatments. I've never had any treatments.
Thank you.
It remains asleep, so
good.
That's another gift, another blessing.
All right.
The Lord.
Well, it's a blessing to have you on the show. We'll look forward to your visit in 30 days or so. Thank you, General Wickham.
God bless, Bill.
Thanks a lot, General Wickham. Always a pleasure. It's always uplifting to speak with this man. I'm Bill Buckmaster. On behalf of Bob Dio, my engineer producer, Thank you for listening. Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera is coming up next. Lots to talk about on 1030 The Voice. It is the place for trusted local news and talk.